I'm Algernon Cash, and you're locked in. So much happening around the great state of North Carolina. Businesses are expanding. Real estate continues to expand despite some of the slowdown you might see at the national level. And so I had to invite a friend of the show and a friend of mine for many, many years, and even a mentor, as I would call him. Robbie Perkins is a leader, not only in business across North Carolina, but certainly a top leader and performer within commercial real estate. And he's also the owner of NAI Piedmont Triad. Robbie, thank you for locking in, man. How are you?
I'm doing great, Algernon. Everything is doing just fine as we wind up another successful year in 2024.
Yeah, well, you jumped right in. So let's start there, man. How has your 2024 been? I know you're always out there willing and dealing and trying to make a big deal happen.
Well, you know, our company is NAI Piedmont Triad, and it's owned by NAI Earl Furman LLC, and I'm one of the members, so I'm not the sole owner of the franchise. However, we did recently open a new office in downtown Winston-Salem. So our presence is truly triad-wide now, with offices in Winston-Salem, Greensboro, and Burlington.
Yeah, you guys picked up a nice asset, or I guess you're leasing space in that new building, or the building that Adam Spears acquired there on First Street. And so nice presence there. I see your sign when I go up and down the highway.
Well, signs are a big part of our marketing strategy, and obviously putting a sign on our building in a very visible location is important to us. And, you know, we always say that if you can't make a good real estate deal for yourselves, you sure can't make one for your clients. So we try to show our clients that that we can be well located and high profile, and we can do the same for them.
Yep. Well, you know, Robbie, one thing I noticed about the move or the new office that you opened here in Winston-Salem, as you put the Piedmont Triad in the name, and I know for many, many years, going on 20 years now, you've been a huge proponent of regionalism and the fact that all of our communities and cities need to be working together. I think you coined the phrase heart of the triad back when I first got into business 20 years ago. And so I've also become a huge believer in regionalism. What kind of progress do you see us making right now in terms of regionalism here in the triad?
No, I think it's been dramatic. And I think that the biggest thing is this whole Carolina Core effort the true leadership of this whole region came up with, said, we're going to brand it. We're going to make us a place that people are going to know worldwide. And, you know, I was all in on that. And they have vastly exceeded my expectations. The success of the Carolina Core brand is remarkable. And I think in the not too distant future, we'll be a place that folks will readily identify with. The effort, of course, started with a goal of 50,000 jobs in 2018. To achieve that goal by 2038, we're already at 54,000, and they've reset the goal at 100,000. So it's remarkable.
You know, from my audience, Robbie, that might be listening, they may not be as informed or knowledgeable as I am, or even you. I know you keep your finger on the pulse throughout the state. Explain to my audience, what is the Carolina Core, and what is some of the work they're doing for us now?
Well, the Carolina Core is principally a branding effort, and it goes from a little bit west of Winston-Salem, and I think you can pretty much include Wilkesboro into that effort now, all the way east through Winston-Salem, through Greensboro, and then down the 421 corridor, soon to be renamed an interstate, all the way to Fayetteville. So it's a section that really over the past 40 or 50 years has been overshadowed by the Charlotte Metroplex and the Raleigh-Durham Triangle area. And we were kind of left out. The way this whole thing is starting to shape up, we have finally become the third leg of the economic development stool for the state of North Carolina.
And I think that's significant. I've always said that I think the Triad has one of the most strategic locations, not just in the state of North Carolina, but even when you look at the eastern coast. I mean, when you look at the interstate highways that run through our community, you can go north, south, east, west with relative ease. And obviously, as a part of this Carolina Core effort, I think one of the big announcements and one of the crown jewels of the work that's occurring right now is the Toyota battery manufacturing plant. I just saw an announcement the other day. It looks like they've got maybe around a couple thousand people out there working now at the manufacturing facility. Or
they do, and the end product will be $14 billion and 5,200 jobs. And typically, when you look at a plant like that at full employment, you can multiply the total number of jobs at the plant by eight to get the impact on the total employment in the region because of that plant. So this is a huge, huge deal, and it brings a world class name to the Triad in a way that is really the future of the automobile industry the next 100 years. This is a big, big deal for us.
You know, Robbie, I was fortunate enough over the years to sort of watch this whole mega site deal come together and some of the players that got involved. I want you to talk about the proactive and progressive leadership that it required for all this to happen. I mean, there had to be a lot of people coming together. I'll often say former Governor Pat McCrory, he doesn't get enough credit for the role that his Commerce Department played in securing this mega site. But talk about some of the collaboration that had to happen for that deal to occur.
Well, you know, I could go back into ancient history on that, but, you know, when that site first started, I was the mayor of the city of Greensboro, and Darrell Frye, who is as strong a proponent of regionalism as there ever has been in North Carolina, is, of course, the chair of the county commission in Rockingham County. He's been on the county board forever and is at just about every regional event that you can possibly imagine, and has been for 30 plus years. And Darrell and his team had a vision of doing something special, and they knew that they needed some assistance with infrastructure, water and sewer. And so we attended some early morning 7:30 meetings down in Randolph County, and it was all hush hush because they were trying to put this site together. And then, of course, you know, Jim Melvin and the role that he played, because without the 82nd Airborne sort of attitude that we will get this done, and the funding of the Bryan Foundation and North Carolina Railroad, the assemblage would not have been possible. And then, of course, you needed the heavy lifting from the state, from the governor, Governor Cooper, and President Pro Tem Berger, and the North Carolina House. So everyone came to the table and made this happen. City of Greensboro's role was the extension of the sewer to the site. We would have never had the opportunity to have a project of that size without a large municipality coming in and providing sewer service. So, and it's 16 miles outside of Greensboro. So it was a collective deep breath, and we're going to move forward for the good of the region, and it worked.
So, you know, I recall your tenure as mayor in Greensboro. I mean, that was many, many years ago. I mean, you all had to be very forward thinking and visionary to some degree to be able to do this. You always respect the way you look out at our economy and our community and state, and you sort of have this natural ability to see trends and things unfolding before they completely unfold. What's next, Robbie? What's the next big project that we need to be working on?
Well, what I love about our region is the uniqueness of our center cities and our downtowns. And I think if you go at the look at the three large municipalities in the Triad, High Point and Winston-Salem and Greensboro, all have invested in their downtowns and are working toward creating neat and cool atmosphere, that each one of them is unique. None of them are alike. but all of them give the 1,700,000 citizens of our region the ability to live, work, and play in a really cool environment. And for us to compete globally for talent and workforce, we need to have things for them to do when they're not working. And so the places for that to happen are our center cities. And I really think that, and I've said this about downtown Greensboro, I think downtown Greensboro is our next megasite. This is where you already have infrastructure. You already have people living. You already have, workers, office workers, and you're surrounded by North Carolina A&T and UNCG and Bennett College and Greensboro College. And so if you can make all of that work together, you've got something very special.
You know, I 110% agree with you. I think the revitalization in downtown Greensboro has been tremendous, and the investments that so many people have made. I just actually had a meeting this morning over at Stock and Grain in High Point, and was just raving about some of the growth and development happening in High Point. I think you're getting ready to see a lot more happening in that downtown area in High Point. And obviously, Winston-Salem kicked off its revitalization downtown probably 24 years ago under the leadership of Mayor Alan Joynes, and I think has made significant progress. But one thing I really agree with is what you just said. I think each downtown has a distinctive character. And I think so many times people try to compare Greensboro's downtown to Winston or try to compare it to High Point when they're all very much unique. And they're literally only about 35 minutes apart from one another. So you could easily go enjoy all of them at any given time. The Business Journal just reported that here in downtown Winston, Wells Fargo has vacated somewhere around 700,000 square feet of office space. I think the office vacancy in downtown Winston is at a historical high, somewhere around 37 or 38%. I'm not really certain where they are in Greensboro. But how does that play into your vision of revitalizing our center cities?
You're seeing the office market change. That's not to say it's going away. It's changing through the pandemic. And the triad has never been a huge office center in the first place. So what we've got is less of a problem than a lot of cities across the country. Hmm. Now, what I do think is unique in Winston-Salem is the quality of the buildings that were vacated are very high. And the reuse potential of the buildings are intriguing. I've been in the former Wells Fargo Tower over there, and you don't get a better view in the state of North Carolina than from the top floors of those of that tower. It's spectacular in every direction. So I think somebody really smart is going to do a mixed-use project there and activate the ground floor and look at potentially some residential conversions up top and then fill in with office tenants that want to be in the best of the best. So I think you'll see some of those conversions happen. I think it'll be interesting to see how the federal government handles their involvement in projects like that, because obviously in large cities across the country, there are millions of square feet of office space that have been vacated that are going to need to find another purpose. And the president is a real estate guy. So, he's going to come up with some idea as to how to handle that. And we don't know what it is yet, but I think the municipalities are going to need some help from the feds, either in tax credit policy or tax policy, to enable some of the reuse of these big office buildings.
So Robbie, you actually mentioned this in a meeting that we had at your office not too long ago, and I found it to be intriguing. So do you think there are active conversations about the office sector or the office market getting bailed out by the federal government, or?
I don't think there's any question about it. I think the extent of the problem is maybe 10 or 15%. We're 10 or 15% into it. So we've got another 85% to go, and already you're seeing some of the financial institutions that have backed these office buildings start to waver a little bit. Do they really want them back? Because if they're vacant, they still need to, they still incur substantial operating costs while they're waiting for somebody to reoccupy the space, and they don't have any idea of when that's going to occur. So we've got to take a serious look at this to avoid a serious economic casualty, I think, as a result of the office market. People are working different than they did 5 years ago. I've got sons that work out of the office, and it's going to take a lot to get them back in the office. And they're highly paid insurance folks, so it's pretty hard to it's pretty hard to get them to change. And if somebody forces them to change, they'll just say, "Well, I'll just go work for somebody else."
No, we're seeing that all across the country, not here in North Carolina, but this young generation is pushing back. If you don't give them a work from home option, then they just go to the next company, and that's become pretty common. I think this idea that you're talking about, in regards to the federal government getting involved in the office market, I think it's an intriguing idea, and you may be right. That may be the only solution as we continue to move forward, because a lot of these office buildings, the trend in people working from home, I don't think it's going to reverse itself. I think that cat's out of the bag. And I know many of the CMBS loans that I actually originated 10 years ago are coming due in 2025, and many of those deals won't pencil out today.
Well, and the center cities are so important to the infrastructure of the entire country. I mean, Chicago, New York, Boston, LA, San Francisco, Philadelphia. I mean, you've got to have vitality in those center cities to have the country that we have now. And that's been talked about not only during the campaign, but every politician recognizes that our center cities are key to what's going on. You've got a lot of mayors across the country that are listened to by the federal government, and both Republicans and Democrats. You've got mayors that say we've got to have some help here, and we're going to do as much as we can on our own. But if we can get some tax policy that enables us to convert office space that's sitting vacant to badly needed housing, that makes a lot of sense.
I think it makes a tremendous amount of sense. The other thing you recently shared with me that I was intrigued by, I've had this inherent thought that retail wasn't performing too well here in North Carolina. You seem to feel otherwise. Talk a little bit about the retail sector.
Well, the retail sector, nothing got built. There was an overbuilding in the retail sector. Everyone stopped building retail. We went into the pandemic, and people's attitudes changed a little bit about retail. The experiential retail, the Topgolfs of the world, have become the thing. But also, just because we didn't have the building of the strip centers, they started to fill up again. And when they filled up, the rental rates increased, and people started to say, this is a pretty good investment. This is something that we can change from the competitive Amazon, retailer to the service-oriented retailer that you go out and you touch and feel, and you walk into their store and do business. So there's room for that, and the oversupply has been absorbed. So it's a very healthy market right now.
The other thing I see when I travel up and down the highways is a tremendous amount of industrial has expanded here in the last several years. Do you think that we are on a sustainable path in terms of expansion in that space? I mean, are we overbuilding, or are we just building right enough?
Well, North Carolina is, of course, with I-85 and I-95 and the 685 going to go from the Triad down to Fayetteville. We've got some of the best transportation corridors in the country, and I-95, I-85 is they're like the Mississippi and Missouri rivers were 200 years ago. This is where commerce is going to occur. And we, you know, we got scared by the pandemic that, you know, maybe we weren't orienting our supply chain efficiently enough, that it could shut us down if we didn't reshore. And so that's where all this building has come from along our interstates. And I think we may have built a little bit too much too fast, but I think by 2026, we will be back in balance and the market will be healthy. The rents will be going up and you'll see even more buildings under construction.
Yeah, you know, when you talk to large companies, I mean, they have looked really hard at their supply chain and now they went to this, I guess, just-in-time type delivery where things aren't having to come all the way from overseas, but some of these things are actually being inventoried a little closer to their destination. Do you see the president has proposed some really extreme tariff policy whenever the new administration comes into play? Do you see any of that really playing out, or do you even hear some of your clients and customers talking about it?
You know, you got to remember who the elected president is. I mean, he's a real estate guy. And before I ever knew anything about Donald Trump in politics, I bought his book, The Art of the Deal. And I read it and I was fascinated by it. So, you know, that's who he is. And so for him to make a statement about 25% tax rates, there's also tariffs, there's also a caveat to that. And in the world that we live in of extremist politics, it gets taken out to the left and to the right, and this is all of a sudden something that needs to be talked about for two or three days. But the net effect of that was that, you know, the Canadian Prime Minister came to visit Mar-a-Lago, and everybody said, you know, that was a pretty good meeting. So I think you're going to see the negotiations ramp up, but at the end of the day, hopefully, a course will be set that will be productive and not inflationary, really. I think inflation is still persistent. It's stubborn, and I think that the new administration is going to have to do everything they can do to keep that inflation from going back up again.
I want my audience to notice this. Robbie always has a very optimistic perspective of everything, the economy, everything that's going on. And I think that's why I've come to like you over the years. You always seem to figure out what's positive and optimistic about what's going on versus trying to dwell on the negative and the anxiousness and what the people are concerned about.
People are concerned, and rightfully so. I mean, we have been through a brutal year-long election campaign. And I mean, I've seen families torn apart, friendships, ended over this. But, you know, you put, just draw lottery tickets and put, you know, a couple of hundred folks on an airplane and send them out of the United States to a foreign country. Mm. Everybody in that airplane's an American. Okay. We're going to figure it out. And we're going to get along while we're in that foreign country, because that's who we are. So more of that's got to happen here today. And really, you know, I've studied some of how we get things done within our regions and our communities. I was fascinated by the work of Bruce Katz, who was a fellow at the Brookings Institute and did some work here in Guilford County about regional initiatives that could work. And it's called the New Localism. The feds and the state governments have been so polarized that the way you really get things done is through the locals, the mayors and the county commissions and the individual companies and the foundations. We've got to figure it out. We got to take care of ourselves. So if we get a bonus from the state, we get a bonus from the federal government, all the better. But what I think we ought to do, and what I'm hoping to do in my political sphere, is to be able to pull the types of coalitions together that can make us all better as a region. Because Greensboro is better as a city if our region is super strong. And that's been proven through Toyota, through the Boom Supersonic, through all the stuff happening in Innovation Corridor in Winston-Salem, through the Downtown High Point Initiative. I mean, we are all better because of the successes that individually we've had.
I absolutely love that. I tell my audience routinely, you need to pay closer attention to your city council meetings than you do your congressional sessions. You need to know your mayor, the head of the school board, the county commissioners. You need to know these local people that are in positions to affect your day-to-day quality of life. You know, Robbie, it sounds like you might be running for something. You know, we got another big election coming up in 4 years. Are you thinking about anything?
Well, my election is, I was mayor of Greensboro from 2011 to 2013. Nancy Vaughn beat me, and I made a comment publicly that the only elected office I would ever seek would be mayor of the city of Greensboro, because I loved being mayor of the city of Greensboro. And I was pretty heavily quoted on that and have stayed out of politics, never thinking that I would have an opportunity to get back in. And Mayor Vaughn announced early that she wasn't going to run again. And I started thinking about it, and I started getting some telephone calls, and I'm all in. I have formed a committee, and we've raised some money. I've got a campaign manager. I've got a treasurer. I've got a social media director. Designed my campaign sign. My website is designed. It hasn't been made live yet, but it's ready to drop at the right time. And so we're getting ready to go. I've even got my three talking points, Algernon. My three talking points are.
I can tell.
I mean, they're going to be public safety, attainable housing, and planning and infrastructure. So under those three categories, I can pretty much run the gamut. So yes, I am running. I am prepared. I don't have a learning curve. I'm going to stay more and more informed as the year goes along, and hopefully we'll have a successful campaign. That doesn't occur until November of 2025. So I'm in this for the long haul.
Well, from our audience, I think Robbie just broke a little news for us on Locked In. So I appreciate him sharing that nugget with us today. And I'm all in. I thought you were a tremendous mayor. I enjoyed working alongside of you and your pushing some of the ideas that you had. I live in Winston, so you can't get my vote unless I just decide to move over to vote for you. But you know you have my support on your campaign or any ideas that you want to pursue. I think you would be a tremendous leader in Greensboro. So for my audience, if you live in Greensboro and you're listening to the show, just know that Robbie Perkins has my full endorsement. And I would encourage you to try to figure out how you can get involved with his campaign, whether that's making a donation, volunteering, or at least telling five of your friends who he is. Robbie, as always, man, I appreciate you locking in. You're looking good. Love the ideas. I love the big announcement. I can't wait for the campaign to gear up. And you know, I'll be right there with you.
Janon, it's always a pleasure to sit with you and discuss things that are important to our region. And thank you so much for having me.
And to my audience, thank you for locking in. Make sure you stay tuned to WTOB, because every Sunday morning, that's where you can lock in with me. But if you happen to miss me, I'm hoping that you're subscribed to the podcast either on Spotify, Pandora, Apple, wherever you like to get your favorite podcast. You can always lock in there. And until next time, y'all stay locked in.
The executive producer of the Locked In podcast is Algernon Cash for WGC. The associate producer is Tim Beeman for Such and Such Media. This podcast is copyrighted and cannot be reproduced without express written consent of WGC.